Get ready to get your nerd on.
Kick the week off right with games, gadgets, and general geekery from the ladies of the Electric Sisterhood.
On Tuesdays, get your pop culture news and reviews with a pure Bostonian perspective on the Boston Bastard Brigade.
Geek Aggro is coming at you on Wednesdays to fill what's left of your cerebral cortex with the hottest beats to get you on your feet.
Then on Thursdays, you have me, Phil the Issues Guy, presenting the Live Issues program.
It's going down each week. Only in the land of Ash, nerdcore at its finest.
And now, the Boston Bastard Brigade, Electric Sisterhood, and On Mystery Inc. proudly present No Borders, No Race, the world's J-pop and alternative hotspot.
Konnichiwa, my bastards and wenches, and welcome to another episode of No Borders, No Race. This is King Baby Duck here. I finally recovered from another anime convention, and I hope all of you enjoyed the interviews we posted last week. Chatting with Chris Kaysen, Christopher Smith, Lauren Landa, and J. Michael Tatum was a lot of fun. Got some good insight on the process of voice acting, how to get into character, and even got to just shoot the shit and talk nonchalantly about random things. Anyway, if you haven't had a chance to listen, please take a moment to check it out. It was a blast, and I hope to see them again at a future con. With that, let's start today's episode. Remember, as always, if you like what you hear and want to support these artists, you can grab just about all these albums and EPs from cdjapan.co.jp, amazon.com, iTunes, Bandcamp, the band's official sites, and your local record store. We're going to start the show off with a song from the hit Japanese comedy Detroit Metal City, a film I think everyone needs to see, especially during this Halloween season. Here's the band led by Krauser II, Detroit Metal City, with the song Satsugai.
I'm
Soju Kaitens with Killer from the mini album Rock and Roll Sekai Ryoko. They'll be releasing a new single, I believe, sometime early next year called 12 or Juni, as they may call it. And hopefully that'll mean a new album will be following soon after that. So, something has been happening in the gaming culture, something that has grown way too out of proportion and away from its main cause. It started out as a simple case of someone calling out an industry member on their bullshit, but it has mutated into a vulgar display of immaturity and bad usage of the press. Now, I was not 100% sure if I would cover this. In fact, I'm still a little hesitant to even talk about it in fear of ruffling the wrong feathers. But I feel that we as people need to look at this with a much broader range of intelligence. Now, I'm not going to go into details about this thing, which I'll refer to as consumer revolt, because by now, everyone should know what it is. My thoughts on the matter is that this certain thing that's happening is focusing on an incredibly wrong aspect of the whole thing. This all started out as a group of people pointing fingers at dishonest journalists, which, to be fair, we don't really need help finding the ones who review things on a biased nature. We can smell them from a mile away. But now, it's gotten a little bit out of hand because certain people try to use it for their own agenda, thereby causing harm to both innocent people and to those who started the movement for the right reasons. As we all know, the internet is a scary place, filled with creeps, psychos, and just horrible people wanting to destroy those who have an opinion that's different from theirs. And when these pools of sludge start peeking their heads out to spew their disgusting insight, it's when real trouble will start brewing. People's lives become ruined, to the point where they feel there is no safe place they can turn. I mean, yes, Anita Sarkeesian, or however the hell you pronounce her last name, should be held accountable for her biased, sexist, and straight-out dumb opinions, especially for what she said about the recent shooting in Washington. Zoe Quinn should be shunned for using the death of Robin Williams to promote her Depression Quest game. Sam Bill should probably resign from writing about games for attacking his own demographic. However, it should not reach the point where we go towards a level of monstrosity, one that separates the humane from the inhumane. The key word, people, is counterintelligence, and you can't be seen as intelligent if you just go about threatening the lives of those you don't like. You know, I was going back and forth with Scarlett from Scarlet Rhapsody, and I made the comment where this whole situation was a lot like Occupy Wall Street, a group of people wanting to make a difference by pointing out the wrongs of a certain society. All of a sudden, the group is then overrun by people who claim to support their views, only to go radical and cause harm to the good name they were trying to make. Scarlett mentioned about how during Occupy LA, the downtown area was damaged so much by squatters, they had to gate it off because, as she put it, quote, no one knew where to bury their shit. Literally, end quote. That's what these people are doing. They take a good movement, and they take a big, giant shit on it, causing more harm than good. We need to remember that there are plenty of good people online that just want to try their best to recreate a safe haven for gamers, journalists, and even developers. A place where they can share their opinion freely without fear of being hurt. And even if what they say is wrong, people have no right to threaten one's lives over it. You only call out bullshit simply by calling out bullshit. You voice your opinion, whether it's right or wrong, and then call it a day. Only respond back if they do so in return, but try to keep it civil. As for what consumer revolt should be focused on, well, let's save that for our next segment because I want to dive deeper into this whole thing. Right now, let's spin some music. Take a little break, and we will jump right into this. Here's a little classic punk rock song from the Misfits, perfect for this Halloween season. Coming off of Earth AD and Wolfblood, this is Die, Die, My Darling.
Hey, Haji, how do you say masturbation in Japanese again, man?
That's rock and roll!
The Spunks with Here Goes the Black Cat from 2005's Born to Be Mild. This is an album long out of print, and I hope someone in the not-too-distant future with a shit ton of money discovers it and re-releases it in some form. Okay, going back into what I was discussing in the previous segment, Consumer Revolt is focusing on the wrong target. Instead of ruining the lives of opinionated people, we should bring all of our attention to the real problem that thwarts the gaming industry, and that is a certain act that is now becoming all too commonplace in the gaming realm. You know what I'm talking about, folks. The real enemy is the people who release incomplete games and then charge another $10 or a season pass for $30 for things that should already be in the actual game. Yes, I'm looking at you, Destiny, in The Sims 4. You see, 10 years ago, EA, Ubisoft, and Activision would make a game, slap a seal of approval on its ass, send it to the gamers, and then move on to the next title. If the game was broken, then it was deemed a failure. Only those who were into PC gaming would be lucky enough to get patches from either developers or fans who put their hard work into making a game with potential earn said potential. Oh, but as console gamers, we only got what we could be given to us on a disc. No memory card could fit such big patches or extra content. But then, after the era of GameCube, PS2, and the original Xbox went bye-bye, the next-gen consoles threw out the memory cards and substituted them with a hard drive. It was then when developers saw what they could do with a system with a bigger hard drive. They could add new levels, content, weapons, characters, even bigger story arcs that maybe couldn't have fit onto that one disc. Then again, the Blu-ray has like 80 gigabytes on it, so they could have made PS3 games bigger and bolder without any issue. However, some developers began to use these hard drives to the disadvantage of the gamers. We all saw what Capcom did with Street Fighter X Tekken, locking characters that were already on the disc and forcing people to fork over more cash to play what they technically already owned. Now, we're seeing companies release video games in an incomplete state, with promises unkept unless we wanted to spend another ass ton of cash to play with objects that were supposed to be part of the original game. Now, if a great title wants to add to its wonderment, like Bioshock Infinite did with Burial at Sea, Grand Theft Auto V with its never-ending expansion of the online mode, and even with the recent Alien Isolation, then that's fine since it's not part of the main campaign. If Nintendo wants to add another set of tracks and riders to play as in Mario Kart, then that too is okay because it wasn't part of the main scope. However, it's when someone like EA takes out a bunch of standard characteristics from the main release of The Sims 3 and decides to give you much, much less in the launch release of The Sims 4, or when Activision and Bungie talk about being able to fly around towards gorgeous planets, only to find out that you can only do that in the fucking loading screen, that's when we have a problem. So, to all you consumers out there, instead of attacking journalists for giving a dishonest look at a title, because, let's face it, dishonesty will always exist in the press no matter how hard we try to stomp it out, why don't you go after the bigger fish that is the AAA developers and their sneaky ways of cutting material from the main game that should already be standard and making us pay extra to experience it? Or is there something else we should be focusing our attention on? If you want to share your opinions on this matter, please write to us at thebastards@bostonbastardbrigade.com and tell us. Should we put the blame on shady journalism, or do we instead keep an eye on the bigger fish on the industry? Or is there something different entirely that we should be keeping our focus on? Let us know. I really want to hear your thoughts on this. For now, though, let's go back to some music. Coming up, we've got the Kings of Jet Rock and Roll Guitar Wolf with a cut from 2007's Dead Rock, and they call it Tokyo Zombie.
Yeah.
came back haunted by Nine Inch Nails from last year's Hesitation Marks. While not on my top 20 albums list, it was still worthy of an honorable mention. It's a pretty good album. I do recommend checking it out. Alright, kiddies, it's time once again for our favorite Japanese teacher to give us a one-on-one session straight from the land of the rising sun. And this week, she goes into something along the lines of the dark arts, perfect for this coming Halloween weekend. So, without further ado, here's our friend Saba-sensei with this week's Nazo Nazo Nihongo.
Hi everyone, this is Saba-sensei from Nazo Nazo Nihongo. Nazo Nazo Nihongo のコーナーへようこそ。 Welcome back! 今日も日本のポップカルチャーや文化についてみんなと学んでいきたいと思います。どうぞよろしく。 Today, I've got a request to talk about こっくりさん。Thank you very much for your request. Well, to be honest, I'm not a fan of scary stories, so let me explain it from general ideas and not too deep in serious scary episodes. If you are interested in, maybe you can find lots of real stories based on the real true episodes, maybe, on the websites. Kokkuri-san, origin to the Western table turning, and this name actually came from onomatope. You remember onomatope? So, here, I'd like to start with onomatope quiz today. It's an action of human body. Can you guess from its sound? Kokkuri. Kokkuri. Time's up. It means to nod up and down. Kokkuri. We call it kokkuri and use it in our common life, like こっくりとうなずく。うなずく means nod. Maybe it's more common to find this expression of nodding in the literature rather than colloquial way. Let's take a look of its history and also why the nodding relates to this table-turning game. Back in 1884 in Meiji era, American ship drifted ashore of Izu Peninsula in Japan. The table turning was very popular among sailors back then, and it's been said that they brought this table game into Japan. Although table was not that popular thing among most of the Japanese back then, so instead they used round wooden container for rice. Oke, we call it oke, the container, and hold it up with three chopsticks. So, as to make the temporary table like wooden flat surface. Although the wooden container table wasn't stable enough like a real table, so while playing the game, this container was tilting. And the way how it tilted looked like nodding. Yes, so the name came from here. Most of the new onomatopoeia is written in katakana, such as doki doki, like heart beating sound, doki doki, or kira kira, stars twinkling. But this one has kanji character, which we write in three characters. Ko, ku, and ri. First of all, ko signifies fox, and then ku signifies tengu. Tengu is a Japanese long-nosed goblin. And the third character, ri, signifies tanuki, raccoons. And each are considered as a supernatural agents, like an animal spirit. In 1970, Showa 45 in Japanese calendar, this game was introduced in manga comic, Ushiro no Hyakutaro, written by Jiro Tsunoda. Main theme of this comic was psychic or parapsychology. It became quite a big boom among kids, and they tried to play this game during the school recess for their interest or when they're back home and playing around after school. However, there are many cases reported. Some kids seriously became mentally, how do you say, like psychosis, or some even had committed suicide. So this game started to be taken as a seriously dangerous game back then. Okay, so to those who doesn't know what the table turning is, might just be freaking out by hearing the story till here. So let me explain real briefly what that is. First, you put a piece of paper and which has a letter or a number that is written in a certain way, because there are many different versions of the table turning around the world. So let me just put it in this way for now. And then people surround the table and put their finger on top of some little thing, such as coin, and relax. Then one of the person asks a question. Soon, the coin slowly starts to move without anyone's, nobody's intention. And that movement indicates the result of the answer to the question. It's basically something like that. And there are three theses in how the coin or this tiny little thing slowly moves without anyone's intention. One is paranormal. Supernatural spirit is answering to you. Two is auto-suggestion. You know the right answer already, but you want to have the last final go sign in some way. And third, your muscles are getting tired. You know, you can't keep the exactly same position for a long moment. So, which thesis do you believe? Or there are none that could persuade you enough? Try it with your friend if you dare trying it. Oh, by the way, you have to be careful when you're doing Kokkuri-san experiment. And if you believe in the paranormal theory, there are several things that you must do. One is you have to use that coin within 3 days or purify it with salty water. Secondly, burn the paper that was used or rip it into 48 pieces and throw it away. And most importantly, you must not do this game alone. If you do, this may lead into depression and it may lead into a dissolution of personality. As I mentioned before, there were kids becoming depressed or even some committed suicide. And it really happened in Japan, so just as a note or reminder. Now, do you want to know how to do it? How to do Kokkuri-san game? Yeah, I know. When you know it's dangerous or prohibited, people tend to become even more interested in that secrecy, right? Do you really want to know how? Okay, but I've never tried it, so here I'm just telling you what I searched and collect the info on the internet and from my friends. Call me a chicken or whatever. I'm so scared. Maji de koi. Maji de is like really, and koi means scared. So that's why I said maji de koi. I'm very scared. Okay, so let me explain you how to do Kokkuri-san. First, you put the paper with the words written like yes, no, and Tori mark, a gateway at the entrance of the Shinto shrine, and kanji character, male, female, and number of 0 to 9, and all the hiragana characters. And then you put a coin. Most of the time, 10 yen coin is used in Japan. And put everyone's pointing finger on top of the coin. Third, let's relax and speak to Kokkuri-san by saying like this. Kokkuri-san, Kokkuri-san, oide kudasai. Kokkuri-san is a name, so we're calling by name. And then, oide kudasai. Oide kudasai means please come out. And then ask a question to have a hint or to solve the problem by communicating with Kokkuri-san. And then, soon, the coin slowly start moving toward a certain symbol that indicates an answer to your question. Chokoi. Oh, hey, I remember the similar game inside the game The World Ends With You. Does anyone remember the game called Reaper Creeper? In Japanese, we called it Shinigami-san game. Does anyone remember that? It's the same. Like, you know, communicating with the paranormal and asking a question. And here, related to Twelve Week, The World Ends With You, a new album of the Death March was released in September. So here is one of the songs I wrote and sang, which was composed by the bassist of the Death March, as well as super cool rock band The Bonds, Tsuyoshi-san. It's one of my favorite songs, and its title is Twally. Liked it. If you weren't sure why the title was Twally, please take a look into the booklets. The lyrics show something. Yeah, play it again with the secret code in the lyrics, like I've done with Owari Hajimari lyrics. And speaking about the new release, this month, a cute and cool Kokkuri-san appeared as a TV animation based on Kokkuri-san's story. As I told you earlier, Kokkuri-san's kanji character is formed by three kanji characters. Do you remember? One is ko, and that means, yes, fox. And second one, ku, that means tengu, long-nosed goblin, tengu. And third one is ri, and that means raccoon. And so this animation character has a fox style, and I really like it when he is in a fox mode. It's really cute. I feel a little relaxed now by seeing this cute fox animation character image. And I hope no one who's listening to this episode is scared anymore, because I'm not. Thank you very much for listening, Nazo Nazo Nihongo, this time again. And don't forget to send me a request or any phrase or words that you like to dig with me deeper. じゃ、またね。バイバイ。
Arigato, Sawa-sensei, and if you are interested in checking out the new album from The Death March, you can find it on iTunes for $12.99. It's got a great bunch of tracks, and I'm sure fans of certain Square Enix games will recognize. And if you have any questions for our friend Sawa-sensei, write to us at thebastards@bostonbastardbrigade.com with the subject line, Ask Sawa-sensei. When we come back, I'll be talking about the anime Sawa mentioned at the end of her segment, the one related to Kokkuri-san. But right now, let's get back to the music. Up next, we've got Melt Banana, and this is from the album they released when I saw them live many years ago. That was a wild-ass show, and I highly recommend checking out Melt Banana if they ever come to a town near you. From Bambi's Dilemma, here's Green Eye Devil.
Yeah.
Little 80s hair metal for your taste. That was Loudness with Like Hell. That's from Thunder in the East, an album that'll be celebrating its 30th anniversary next year. Now on the subject of Kukuli-san, there is a new anime comedy that just premiered a couple weeks ago. And as of this recording, there have been 4 episodes that have aired, and it's called Gurele Kukuli-san, and I think you'd all enjoy it. The show follows an elementary school student named Kohina, who lives by her lonesome and eats nothing but those ramen noodle bowls you get for like 2 for a buck. One day she decided to play Kukuli-san alone, which is a bit of a no-no if you remembered from Nazunazo Nihongo, because if you find yourself playing the game by yourself, there's a good chance that the spirit that controls the game will begin to haunt you. Sure enough, a fox spirit appears and says that he'll start haunting Kohina, despite already being a bit of a stalker since he's been watching her for quite some time. But Kohina doesn't seem to care as she tells Kukuli-san that she's just an emotionless doll. This troubles the fox spirit, so he decides to instead help Kohina become the human girl she really is. Now, the last bit of that sounds a little bit depressing, but it's actually a really funny series. For the most part, the show is done in like 2 to 3 mini episodes, with Kukuli-san trying to assist Kohina with cooking, ridding her place of those instant noodles, teaching her how to smile, and keep her safe from other spirits that may want to either steal her soul or simply take some of her attention away from him. It's a pretty goofy series, but it knows to be sweet in the right places. And props to Daisuke Ono and Riro Hirohashi as Kukuli-san and Kohina. The chemistry between the two seiyuu can be felt during their performances, and it works to the highest comedic volumes. And I'm starting to begin to think that every time when Daisuke Ono is attached to an anime series, that's kind of like your sign that it's going to be a quality show. You can catch Gurele Kukuli-san on Crunchyroll now, and it has already been licensed by Sentai Filmworks, so that should mean it'll be on Hulu shortly. I'll have a more thorough review of the series after a few more episodes, so keep an eye on either the B3 page or Esh's EGM Now one. If you have any thoughts on the show so far that you'd like to share with our listeners, write to us at thebastards@bostonbastardbrigade.com and let us know. So, let us return to our playlist. Most people would run in the other direction from the epitome of evil, but in the case of Eagles of Death Metal, who are working on their next album as we speak, they speed towards it at full throttle. From Death by Sexy, this is Chase the Devil. Ready to roll, you know I'm feeling pretty good. Oh, I got a feeling on Saturday night. Oh, 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 oh. I'm gonna chase the devil, oh yeah, I'm gonna chase the devil tonight. Oh, tonight, oh, we'll chase the devil tonight. Japan with Rusty Nail from 1996's Dahlia. They just performed a sold-out show at Madison Square Garden and have revealed that they are close to completing their next album. Granted, they've been saying that for the last few years, but maybe they mean it this time. Well, that about wraps up this week's episode of No Borders No Race. Remember, for the recent news, reviews, podcast episodes, and videos featuring members of the Boston Bass Brigade, you can find us at www.b3crew.com. If you have any questions, comments, sign requests, if you are in a band and want to be featured on our show, or if you have any questions for our friend Sawa Sensei, you can write to us at thebastards@bossofbassbrigade.com. You can follow me on Tumblr at b3crew.tumblr.com and on Twitter at king_baby_duck. Like us on facebook.com/bostonbassbrigade. And don't forget about the other shows under the Land of Ash, including the Electric Sisterhood, Geek Aggro, and the Issues Program. For other articles written by myself, you can find it on egmnow.com/electricsisterhood. I want to give a very special thank you to Scarlett from Scarlett Rhapsody. She helped me a lot with research on the Consumer Revolt segments. With the sources she sent and us simply going back and forth about the situation, I was able to come up with an opinion that I hope you enjoy. Even if you don't agree with it, at least I hope you walked away from it with an understanding of why I came to these conclusions. The Penn and Teller bullshit motif, as I like to call it. Please like the Facebook page of Scarlett Rhapsody and follow them on Twitter at Scarlett Rhapsody. They're a great site and a great bunch of people. Hell, even the Homestuck fan on their team is a cool person, and that's sort of a rarity in that fandom. From my perspective, that is. Don't really want to open up another can of worms here, and probably that'll be for another episode. This weekend, I'll be at Rhode Island Comic Con. If you see someone with a Boston Bash Brigade shirt, that's probably me. So say hi if you spot me. I'll be hanging out with our wicked anime pals during most of it, so it should be tons of fun. We're going to end the show with the Japanese metal idols known as Baby Metal, who are playing a sold-out show in New York City in just a couple weeks. From their self-titled debut that was released this year, this is Megetsune. And until next time, this is King Baby Duck reminding you that you don't have to be from Boston to be a bastard, but it sure helps. Have a safe and happy Halloween, motherfuckers.
いかんぜよ。